Our first speaker is from the group called 12,000 Captive Souls, Mabubi Mashahi. They have been behind organising these brilliant protests that have been happening at Oakley out front of Claire O'Neill's office that has actually led to Claire O'Neill's office being shut down, which is really, really impressive.
Good afternoon. My name is Mahbuba Mirshahi, and today I want to talk about the fast-track policy and injustice fast-track policy. I want to talk about IAA, which is made by previous government. I would like to tell you about when and how was my life changed. I have been here since 2013. I come from Iran, the country which is minority religion is a crime. All of us waiting for 9 years to process our cases. But after 9 years, when Albanese's government promised us no refugee left behind, they promised to support the refugees, we are still silenced. We're waiting with the hope. But after announcement this year on February about ROS visa, and they divided us between 19,000 people and 10 or 12,000 people, I believe is injustice again. Do you know what's the meaning ROS? ROS is a resolution of a status. That means we were supposed our resolution. Actually, the same status with the other 19,000 people. And they divided us. And constantly, Andrew Joyce and Claire O'Neill said, we're processing you individually. We left behind. Individually means 10 more years, 5 more years. We lost our life. We lost our parents overseas without meeting them, without hugging them. And then I believe in my heart, it's my right, it's our right to get protection visa. I understand we became victims of the politicians' games. And then we planned the protest because we believe silence is enough. 11 years is enough. 11 years is limbo. Enough is enough. Yeah, we believe silence is enough. And then we made a big protest, sit down and strike, 3 weeks ago at front of the Claire O'Neill's office, who is responsible to finish our nightmare, who is responsible to change and make a certain decision. 18th of September, between 8 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock in the afternoon, constantly, loudly ask front of the Claire O'Neill's office about, please talk to us. Please urgently process our case, because it's enough, waiting is enough. And then they respond, closing their office. And they said, talk to us. All Claire O'Neill's office, suburb, and business understand us, empathy to us. You know, I've heard lots of the suffering story. I've seen lots of the kids during the school holiday hold the placard higher than them and say, we born here without visa. We born here without any Medicare. Without any Medicare means without any health for family. Shame. Yeah, because they ignore us, we planned another protest the second week and the third week. We are standing the sunny days. We are standing on the pouring days. We hold the placard and say, please urgently process us. And I've heard lots of stories with the same situation. Someone got Medicare, someone doesn't have Medicare. Someone allowed to work, someone doesn't have allowed to work. Someone like me, as a nurse, I'm working for 10 years. I stood up with the Australian for the pandemic duration. But I don't feel safe without visa. I don't feel this country is my country because I don't have visa. And I believe that for all of you, if the government give you a chance, you can contribute with the Australian. You can build up the Australian. failure. That means I figure out silence is enough. Enough is enough at this moment. I believe in my heart, we have to get the protection visa this year. And now after us, some sit down strike in Sydney for 1 week. The beautiful women starting to walking from the Melbourne to Canberra. The guys cycling from Brisbane to Canberra, because everyone knows that. That's enough. Silence is enough. Please come along with us. We got the 4 weeks. 4 weeks stay on the Claire O'Neill's office, 1719 Atherton Road, Oakley, from 10 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Still, we've been there to constantly ask, please, we need the protection visa, or we need to feel equally. And then, hopefully, we gather together with a loudly say in the Canberra 17 and 18 of the October, the same time as the women arriving in the Canberra, to get enough is enough, silence is enough. Please don't be silent anymore. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Qutbi Alam Timur, the president of Afghan Locally Engaged Employees Alliance. Afghan Locally Engaged Employees are those people who work with the Australian Defence Forces shoulder to shoulder in the battleground in Afghanistan. And the reason why we established this movement to ask Australian government to meet their moral obligation and provide safety and freedom to the extended family of Afghan locally engaged employees. I was born as a refugee in a refugee's home in Pakistan, and I have had that status of refugees for 18 years in Pakistan, and I have come to Australia in 2014 as a refugee. When I first arrived in Australia 9 years ago, I joined a shared house with people seeking asylum who did not have permanent residency, who did not have safeties, who did not have freedom, and who did not have right to work. It has been 9 years that I have been living now in Australia, and those friends who I joined with them a shared house 9 years ago, they still don't have those rights of safety, freedom, right to work, and some of them, they do not have even Medicare. It is very difficult. Seeing this situation is very difficult. This 9 years, almost now in total 10 to 11 years, these people have been separated from their families, from their loved ones, and they have not been provided certainties. I wish I would have stood here to celebrate fair and welcoming refugee policies, but this is unfair, unwelcoming refugees policies of Australia pushing refugees. I and my two other colleagues started a long walk from Dandenong to Canberra, which was 18 days long walk. Why we were pushed and obliged to do that long walk and advocacy for the extended family of Afghan locally engaged employees? Because there is not a policy for them. There is not a safety for them. And Australia government should have that policies. So what I'm saying now, that Australia government should make a fair, welcoming, and equally refugee policies to all refugees in Australia. So we ask Australian government that 10 to 11 years is too bloody long, provide the safety, certainty, and freedom to people seeking asylum who are suffering, who are in limbo for 10 to 11 years here in Australia. And also I am calling on Australian government that after the fall of Kabul, most of people from Afghanistan. Almost 250,000 people from Afghanistan escaped to Pakistan for the safety and freedom. And very recently, Pakistani government has announced a crackdown on Afghan refugees. And they are at risk of being arrested or imprisoned and deportation. And we ask Australian government, DFAT, UN agency, to put pressure on a Pakistani government to make Pakistan as a safe place for the refugees and until the Afghan refugees find a way for safety in third countries. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for your passionate for the refugees and asylum seekers. Thanks, everyone.
There was a time when I used to go to Park Prison with my kids. Like every other day, we would be there. We would be standing outside. We'd be looking at the blinded windows, looking at the men that were behind us, trying to support them. During that time, I got this book for my children from the library. The title was, My Name Is Not Refugee. I just thought it couldn't have been more perfect. My name is not refugee. It doesn't need any explanation. Because you are a refugee. And you can wear that title with pride, but it's not what defines you. It's what has shaped you, but it's not what defines you. It has shaped you, like being an immigrant shapes you. Like having lived in the same safe house, in the same safe suburb, in the same safe country has shaped you, all in very different ways. But it has shaped you, not defined you. Being a refugee is part of your journey, but it's not what makes you, you. So no, when we scream and when we chant, free the refugees, we see you. We see you. When we chant, free the refugees, we chant, free the mothers, free the fathers, free the children, free the teachers, free the road builders, free those who speak up, free those who stay silent, free the writers, free the taxi drivers, free the dreamers, free the doers, free the artists, free the journalists, free those who always keep going, and free those who cannot go anymore. Free the doctors, free the cleaners, free those who have lost hope, and free those who believe. When we chant free the refugees, we chant free the people. Free, free the people, free the refugees. Free, free the people, free the refugees. Free, free the people. Free the refugees. I would like to introduce our next speaker, Janet Rice. Janet is federal Green Senator for Victoria and co-founder of Victorian Greens. She was also Greens Foreign Affairs spokesperson and continues to advocate strongly for refugees from a range of countries, including Afghanistan, Iran, Myanmar, and Sri Lanka.
What we need, the message that we need to be having to our government, is we need to be putting justice and human rights at the centre of everything we are doing. And our government is not doing that. Our government is continuing on the legacy of the previous Liberal governments and Labor governments before them, who accept and are happy to lock up innocent people. People who all they have done is to be working for freedom, fighting for their rights in their home countries, and then having to flee for those rights, flee for their lives. All the people, so many of you here today, that's all that you have done, and yet you've been locked up, you've been vilified, you've been persecuted, you've been tortured, and our government has been choosing to do that. There is a lot of huge problems in the world that we're facing today. You know, the outbreak and the escalation of war in the Middle East today just leaves you with complete dread when you think of the amount of human life and the suffering that's been going on in occupied Palestine, the violence now, the innocent people that have been killed in both Israel and Palestine. Huge. You look at the wars going on everywhere else, you look at what's happening in Afghanistan, in Myanmar, and you think, yep, we need to be working hard as an international community to be putting those rights, putting justice, working for justice around the world at the heart of everything we do. We need Australia to be taking that seriously, to be working multilaterally. These are big things. This job isn't going to be finished by the time, you know, in the next year or so. That's what we need to be working on. But there are things that can happen that our government must be doing. Our Australian so-called Labor Party government that really says that they care about people, that they must be doing, that for me as a Green, I am continue to be fighting for. And there are three things that this government could make a decision to do tomorrow. One is to everybody that is here on temporary and asylum seekers, refugees who are here on temporary visas, could be given permanent visas. That needs to happen as soon as possible. They need to make that commitment. They need to really, they need to live up to their election promise. Those 12,000 people, and many of you are here today, Maboba spoke so beautifully about what the pressure, the stress, the awful situation that you're in. That can happen immediately. Secondly, the government must completely close the awful torture camps in PNG, and the rumours are in still operating in Nauru as well. And all of those people, they should be brought to Australia and cared for as human beings, as people, as fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, children, people who have lives and who have rights. That also Australia could do immediately. And the third thing that I'm calling on Anthony Albanese to do immediately is to sack Mike Pezzullo. Mike Pezzullo, who was the architect of Operation Sovereign Borders, he was the architect of our system of locking up refugees in Nauru and PNG. He has been revealed to be doing absolutely inappropriate actions of influencing previous Liberal governments totally beyond what a public servant and the Secretary of the Department of Home Affairs should be doing. He needs to be sacked. He needs to go. Anthony Albanese needs to sack him tomorrow as well.
Hello everybody, my name is Samrati Verma. I'm a lawyer at the Human Rights Law Centre. Before I start, I want to acknowledge that we're here on colonised land of the Wurundjeri people, and some of the things that we're here to oppose: the division of people according to legal categories, locking people up according to whims of the government for as long as the government wants. These aren't techniques that were designed by the colonial state for people seeking asylum. These are techniques that were designed by the colonial state first to colonise people. They were directed and perfected first against First Nations people, and then they were expanded to everybody else. Australia is a scene of ongoing colonialism. Settlement was not an event, it's a process. I want to acknowledge that here first and foremost. So earlier this week, thank you. Earlier this week, we heard from the ministers, Claire O'Neill and Andrew Giles, that there is an attack on our asylum system. They told us that our asylum system is broken. What is the source of that attack? It is, according to them, poor working people who come from the Pacific, from Malaysia, from India, where I was born, and from China. And so sophisticated is their attack that they come here to work on our farms, to work doing deliveries, to do the hard, rough work that other people will not do. And we are told that they are our enemies. Meanwhile, just kilometres away, a group of Tamil Sri Lankan women and their allies, other Iranian women, were walking by foot approaching the capital. They're walking to protest the fact that, like 12,000 other people, they have been left in the lurch, declared bogus, as now people who arrive by plane are being, and left in total limbo, unable to build their lives in Australia and yet unable to go home. Meanwhile, we have close to 2,000 people who were transferred from Nauru and Manus Island in the community who have been here for close to a decade, had kids who have become citizens, become part of our community, become part of us, unable to make a permanent home and being shunted off to New Zealand as though they're simply numbers. These are, according to the government, not attacks on the integrity of our migration system. Rather, those attacks are coming from poor people in other parts of the world. I'm here to say that our enemies are not other poor working people in other parts of the world. Our enemies are in Parliament. Our enemies are people who would seek to divide us according to arbitrary legal categories and dates that they make up, Our enemies are people who create divisions between real and bogus asylum seekers, between economic migrants and refugees. Our enemies are people who design categories and processes to see people fail. In other words, our enemies are the laws that govern and dictate the conditions under which people have to live if they have the misfortune of seeking asylum in this country. People will have better. We will be here every day, every year, every month, until the laws reflect the justice that people truly deserve. Thank you very much.
I am Saeed from Iran. I am come to Australia 2013 with my family. Still living in Australia with a temporary visa. Some families here, not any visa, not any Medicare. Why? More than 10 years, all of them in limbo. We want permanent visa. We want change. We want justice. After more than 10 years, it is not justice. It is not human right. We want permanent visa for all. More than 12,000 people here in limbo. Yeah.
Now we're down at South Bank and the Minister O'Neill is in the hotel. So now you're going to actually take the message to her personally.
Yeah, my message to her is like, you know, we are here for 11 years now, and 11 years full of stress, anxiety, depression. Many families here, you know, they are just ruined, you know, their lives, you know, because, you know, my family, my parents in Iran, you know, I've lost my father without seeing him for the last time. I didn't have that chance to go even to a third country, you know, just, you know, to ask my family to come to the third country and just, you know, to have a visit, you know, to see my father for the last time. And after 11 years, you know, a lot of people here, as Saeed said, you know, they don't have any rights like other people, like other citizens here. And they just struggle. They live day by day, you know, and they still don't know what's going to happen in the future. So I don't know why they're doing that to us. But one thing is very clear. They just want us, like, you know, I don't know, just live in stress, in anxiety, and just get old. And after that, they don't know what they're gonna do to us. They're gonna kick us out or what? We have no idea. So what we want is just, you know, they let us to settle down here, you know, have a proper visa, permanent visa, so we can work, we can live like other people. We can build our lives here. I've been here for 11 years now. Yeah, I've been here from 2013. When I came here, I just turned to 30, and now I'm almost 41 years old. And that's a very long time. A lot of people maybe they don't have any idea what 11 years is like. You know, 11 years, like every year, every day, you know, every week, every month, for 11 years, full of stress. We have no idea what's going to happen, and that's really not fair for us, you know. I have no idea what we have done, you know, to the politicians here, that they don't want to see us, you know. They just ignore us, you know. I have no idea, and they don't even talk to us. They don't even communicate with us.
We want justice, we want change. Please, thank you.
Let's remember what's really happening. 70 men in misery on Port Moresby. Refugees trapped in the detention centre on Nauru. Medivac refugees on 6-month bridging visas with no prospect of being allowed to stay in this country, even though some of them have become award-winning artists, musicians, winemakers, and so on and so forth. What about the 10,000 people whose applications for refugee status were rejected under Fast Track, a system set up by Tony Abbott to ensure that asylum seekers failed in their claims for refugee status. 10,000 of those people live in this country 10, 11 years after they were rejected. Some of them have children. Some of them have children who are going to school but will never go to university. Some of them have the right to work and they pay taxes, but they have no right to stay here for more than 6 months at a time. Some of them have no visa, no Medicare rights, and are basically living on charity. 10 years, what can it do to a person's psychology? What can it do to a person's self-respect? I've seen refugees choking back tears because they feel they have failed their children. They have not failed their children. This government has failed their children. Claire O'Neill has failed their children. The people who are self-harming or committing suicide under this Labour government, Claire O'Neill has failed them and has their blood on their hands. So don't talk to us about humanitarianism and progressive policies when you treat the refugees like garbage. Prove in action that you are a humanitarian, Claire O'Neill, by bringing those 70 men from Papua New Guinea. Prove in action, Claire O'Neill, that you are a humanitarian by reopening the fast track process and giving those 10,000 people the opportunity to prove they are refugees and worthy of permanent protection.